This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. It's Anything Goes Friday. Just wanted to tick off a few news stories that are worth mentioning, and then I'll pick up your phone calls. This from Daily Kos. Multiple sources are suggesting that today's Manafort appearance might also point some fingers in the direction of Indiana's most secretly hoping for a Trump impeachment son. That would be Mike Pence. He is hoping that Trump gets impeached. Most of this fervor seems to boil down to the pressure that Manafort applied to get Pence on the Trump ticket. As CBS reported, Trump had several other names on the list for VP, particularly Chris Christie. But Manafort shoved Pence to the front of the line. Manafort arranged for a mechanical problem with Trump's campaign plane that forced him to spend some time with Pence. This is from the New York Times. What had previously been reported as a lucky break by the New York Times is actually a swift political maneuver devised by the now-fired campaign manager. Set on changing Trump's mind, he concocted a story that Trump's plane had mechanical problems, forcing the soon-to-be Republican nominee to spend the night in Indianapolis for breakfast with the Pence family on Wednesday morning. Which raises the question, why? Why did Paul Manafort want Mike Pence as vice president? Keep in mind, Trump wanted it to be Chris Christie, who was a former federal prosecutor and a lawyer. And Mike Pence was a former talk show host and a right-wing governor with about a 25% approval rating. So why did Paul Manafort want Mike Pence in the VP position? And what might we learn about this? The Trump administration, meanwhile, is rolling back a climate change regulation that restricted new coal plants, writes Emily Holden in The Guardian today. It would have required technology to capture the carbon dioxide that traps heat on Earth and causes climate change from new power plants. And the Trump administration is saying, nah, we don't need that. We're just fine with global warming. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is tweeting from Washington, D.C. All the freshman members of Congress are at a, quote, bipartisan orientation with briefings on the issues. And I'm quoting from Ocasio-Cortez's tweet. Invited panelists offer insights to inform new Congress members' views as they prepare to legislate. Number of corporate CEOs we've listened to here, 4. Number of labor leaders, 0. Right. And then, meanwhile, Wisconsin is passing legislation today, apparently, in the lame duck legislation that will make Wisconsin the first state in the nation to require drug testing for people who want food stamps. They have already successfully thrown about 50,000 people off the food, excuse me, over 100,000 people off the food stamp rolls in Wisconsin. And in fact, more than that, they've gone from 800,000 down to 650,000 since Scott Walker. This is on top of work requirements. The work requirements they're raising from 20 hours a week to 30 hours a week, even if you have school-aged children, if you need to get food stamps. And this is just nuts. It's the war on the working poor. And of course, that's what Mike Pence was all about. That's what Scott Walker's all about. That's what the Republican Party is all about. It's what they're doing in Michigan right now. Meanwhile, Rex Tillerson says that Donald Trump, it was challenging to work for him. He said, quote, Trump is a man who's undisciplined, doesn't like to read, doesn't read briefing reports, doesn't get into the details of a lot of things. And then he goes on to say, and this is a quote from Tillerson. So often the president would say, here's what I want to do and here's how I want to do it. And I'd have to say to him, Mr. President, I understand what you want to do, but you can't do it that way. It's against the law. I'd say, here's what we can do. We can go back to Congress and get this law changed. And if that's what you want to do, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I'll be right there to fight the fight if that's what you want to do. But, you know, Trump was never interested in that. He just wanted to go ahead and break the law. My words, not Tillerson's. Finally, Chuck Schumer sent out a press release this morning, which basically said that if Trump wants and the Republicans want an infrastructure package, which will stimulate the economy and maybe postpone the recession until after the 2020 elections, if they want a major trillion-dollar infrastructure deal, it has to include infrastructure that will mitigate climate change. Oh, and one last story real quickly. The Trump administration, you know, during the Obama administration, they changed the federal subsidies for schools that have school lunch programs to say that you must serve whole grain foods, you can't have high levels of sugar, and you can't have sugar-flavored milk, typically chocolate milk. You can't do that because these things all increase obesity and also you have to have low levels of sodium. 9 out of 10 children, this is from the Center for Science and the Public Interest. 9 out of 10 children consume too much sodium, which can raise blood pressure and increase the risk of heart disease, stroke, and hypertension in adulthood. In fact, right now, 1 in 6 children already have high blood pressure. Schools were on track to gradually rein in high sodium levels over 10 years. And Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue says, screw that. We've got a bunch of big donors to the Republican Party. You know, big cereal manufacturers and candy bar manufacturers and chocolate milk companies. We're going to go back to taking money from them and having them shovel this crap onto the plates of our children when they're eating lunch. Okay, from there to Anything Goes Friday, Jeff in Mount Hope, Wisconsin. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind?
Hey, Tom. I was listening a little bit to Mark Thompson's show this morning, and he was talking about a radio program. I forget the name of it now, but they were talking about the voter fraud that was taking place in North Carolina, mm-hmm. and how it happened a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, NPR, Ira Glass on This American Life busted them for that either two or 4 years ago.
Yeah, and how they did not even prosecute the guy that did it, and he actually has been taking part in the 2018 election here, this primary.
Yep.
Or
the primary and the general. I mean, you know, the Republicans are arguably a victim of this guy as well. And by the way, the guy, I'm forgetting his name, but the guy who is running, you know, the guy who was, quote, elected on the basis of this, who bumped off the incumbent Republican congressman in the primary and then, quote, beat the Democrat in the general election using fraud both times. His son is the assistant federal prosecutor in that part of North Carolina.
Well, see, what I'm getting at, because I'm in Wisconsin, I've watched Scott Walker get reelected multiple times, and I wonder how much of that is actually taking place right here in Wisconsin.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, when Republicans started back in 2000, when Republicans started screaming about voter fraud, you had to know that not only was this an electoral strategy, but they were probably up to their eyeballs in this stuff. And one of the stories from the Bush administration that has fallen into the memory hole that I wish somebody would revive is that George W. Bush wanted all of his federal attorneys, there's 100 of them across the country, 2 in every state. He wanted all of his federal attorneys to investigate and prosecute voter fraud. And 93 of those federal attorneys came to him and said, there is no such thing as voter fraud. This is silly. It would be a waste of time and money. I'd rather be, you know, prosecuting human trafficking and drug violations and gun running. And I mean, there's serious crimes that as federal prosecutors we're supposed to investigate. And George Bush fired 93 of his federal prosecutors. He only kept 7 of them because they wouldn't go after so-called voter fraud. And you know, and then he replaced them with people who just pissed away millions of federal dollars and found nothing. They weren't able to find anybody to prosecute. So you know, there's a there, Jeff. I'm convinced there is. Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. Jim in Los Angeles. Hey, Jim, what's up?
Oh, my friend, Tom Hartman, geez, oh, peace. I want a degree, you know, for my 7,500 hours of listening to you.
we're not there yet.
The Tom Hartman University shines on.
Yeah.
And you are.
We do have bumper stickers. Anyhow, what's on your mind, Jim?
What's on my mind is Wisconsin and Michigan and North Carolina. And one, why are there no district attorneys or prosecuting attorneys that are going to put people in jail for they broke the law in North Carolina? You know they did.
Well, some parts of it were actually rolled back in North Carolina, but I'm not sure that what they did was actually criminal. I think it's politically criminal, and I'm very hopeful that the Republican Party will be held to account for it. But as long as they've got a massive national multi-billion-dollar right-wing radio infrastructure and a multi-billion-dollar corporation in the form of Fox News on television, it's going to be hard to hold these Republicans to account because they've got, you know, people who, in exchange for large amounts of money, are willing to lie about them on the air.
Okay, let me throw this at you, Tom, and let me throw this at Pocan and our friend Bernie. steal my vote, go to jail. Election fraud, you go to jail.
Well, this is why we need either to have the 1993 Voting Rights Act or the Voter Registration Act, which says that voting is a right in the United States. Either somebody needs to take that to the Supreme Court and get it adjudicated, you know, so that we can say that there's a right, so that you can send somebody to jail for denying you your rights, or we need to make a constitutional amendment, or both, a constitutional amendment that explicitly says voting is a right in the United States. Jim, thanks a lot for the call. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person? And we dare to say, no, not a chance. Back with more of Anything Goes Friday right after this. And welcome back. Donald in Los Angeles. Hey, Donald, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. Just so you know, before I get to what I'm getting to, I want to let you know I do have your bumper sticker design if you want it. I haven't actually made the design, but I got the idea, and I can make the design. I've done lots of them in the past.
Tell me about it.
Popular ones. Any rate, first, you asked me to call back to answer a question, so that's the main thing I'm calling for.
Okay.
Okay, you asked with regard to a negative vote option what difference it would make in election math.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is rather simple. Right now, if there are, say, for example, a million people trying to stop, say, you know, candidate A and candidate B from winning, if this million people, none of them actually want either of these two candidates, they're terrified of one, maybe scared of the other, it still comes out looking like 2 million votes for candidate A and candidate B. A negative vote option would allow that to look like 2 million votes against candidate A and candidate B.
So it would express the will of the electorate.
Yes, exactly. Instead of people voting for the lesser evil, they could vote against the greater evil, and it would be counted as such, as a subtractive vote. So in the end, you count up all the additive votes, you count up all the subtractive votes, you subtract the votes against the candidate from the votes for that candidate, and you get a net vote count, and the net vote count is what is then used as the final vote count.
You know, Donald, I was skeptical when you first brought this up. I was skeptical, but it actually makes a lot of sense right now. That's
well, thank you. I appreciate that. Would you like that bumper sticker design idea now?
Sure, go for it.
I'm actually in your Hartman fans thing right now. I forget
the chat room on YouTube. You mean?
Yeah, the Slack thing.
Yeah.
I'm planning on, when I get off the phone, I'm going to throw together a little design and actually post it in there. But the caption on it would be, how far will global warming go? First line, how far will last line? Second line, global warming go? And on either or both sides, you would put the not sign, you know, the circle with the line through it, over a traditional devil, or like the frowning face of horns Unicode symbol,
mm-hmm.
and then like little flames around it.
Like no Satan, right?
Yeah, like let's not send humanity's future to hell.
Oh, I get it.
Bumper sticker.
Yeah. Well, here's, you could say it even more explicitly. You could say global warming could turn the world into a living hell.
Exactly. And that's what this is basically implying, but saying it in such a way that the
person
might figure it out themselves and think, oh, I.
Well, it's kind of like what John the Evangelist or whatever his title was, you know, who wrote Revelations when he was imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos. Mm. He basically said, in the Old Testament, it says the world will not be destroyed by a flood again, but by fire the next time. And that's what he was envisioning, you know, with the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
If you think about it, there's really nothing that I can think of. And I'm not a Bible fan. I'm an atheist myself. But there's really nothing that I can think of in the Bible that indicates that individuals would be going to hell. It's more a question. It's more a matter of, either we're going to hell or we're not.
Or fire would turn the world into a living hell. Yeah, amazing.
So
Donald, thank you. Thank you for both. I appreciate it. Great idea and a fascinating suggestion. We'll be right back. It's 20 minutes and 40 seconds past the hour. Stick around. I'll be right back. Welcome back. Anything Goes Friday on the Tom Hartman Program. Alan in Willow Springs, Illinois. Hey, Alan, what's up?
Hello, Tom. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound like you're in a tin can, but I can hear you.
I'll fix it.
Thank you, Alan. What's on your mind today?
George Bush was elected to, George W. was first elected to president. One of the first things that I remember him doing was pardoning his father, George Herbert Walker Bush. And I...
Wait a minute, really?
For, Lamarck.
Are you sure
of
that?
I was waiting for Lamarck to comment on that.
I don't, I have no recollection of that. What did he pardon his father for? I didn't know that he had been charged with any crimes.
Whether it was his father or a brother, that was one of the first things that came out. And I could be mistaken, but I was wondering if that Mr. Lamar knew that.
Yeah, about he's not here, and it doesn't fit into anything I remember, but it's certainly worth hitting the DuckDuckGo machine to find out what it has to say, or the Google machine, as the case may be.
Tom, long-time listener, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, my pleasure, Alan. And hopefully somebody will research that. I'm on the air right now, can't quite do it. Eric in Middletown, New York. Hey, Eric, what's on your mind today?
Hey, happy Friday, Tom. Good afternoon.
Thanks.
My topic is actually urgent environmental behavior modification. But real quick on your speculation on Trump's layover in Indiana with supposed plane trouble, I would bet my remaining teeth that that was related to a face-to-face sit-down on Kevin, will you do this? Ken, most importantly, you deliver us the evangelical vote. Because Trump has no way of knowing whether or not they would stand with him. And with his checkered past,
right,
that voting block has...
Opinion, Eric, is that Manafort basically manipulated Trump into picking Pence as his VP. And the question that everybody's asking is, why did Manafort do that? You're saying it was just smart political strategy to bring in the right-wing fundamentalists.
Political block.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, to get that block. And
that makes sense.
I mean, we've seen that block deem a fatal flaw in far, far less behavior in other candidates over the years.
Yeah.
So Trump was carrying a lot of baggage. But real quickly, the thing I'm calling about is we talk about environmentalism and changes in so many ways from so many points of view. I'm wondering what your opinion is on when will it be time for us to seriously, sober-mindedly discuss human population control and really get right to it, right down to the individuals and the couples, and talk to them about, you know, before you grow your family, you know, way beyond replacement size, realize the amount of carbon per human and so forth.
Especially in the developed world, yeah. Yeah, I'm with you, Eric, and this is...
Exactly.
This is, I mentioned this yesterday on the air, one of the things that, in fact, in my opinion, the thing that is driving mass extinctions of other species and climate change, and one of the reasons why it's exploded recently... And by recently, I mean like in the last 50 years, both of these things have exploded in ways that are just like, biological amplification, is the radical increase in human population. I don't think most people realize that when the Declaration of Independence was signed, there were only 500 million people on the planet. When Teddy Roosevelt, it was 500 million people in 1800. It was, 500 million people when Thomas Jefferson became president. The first billion people was 1930. No, that was the second billion people. I had to go back and look at my numbers, but my recollection was our first billion was 1800. Our second billion was 1933 or thereabouts. Our third billion was when Kennedy was sworn in 1960. So when Kennedy was sworn in, there was half as many people as on the Earth as today. I mean, if some, wild virus or nuclear war or something were to kill off half of all the people on the planet, the world would still be as heavily populated, as densely populated as it was when Kennedy came in. That was 1960, 3 billion. 4 billion was 1974, 5 billion was 1987, 6 billion was 1999, and now we're working on 7 billion. So we've added 3 billion people just in my lifetime, 4 billion people, arguably. And that, which is more than all the people on Earth before that. And we have to do something about this. We are in a position now where 94% of all the mammals on Earth are humans and their livestock. And this is destroying the planet. And we've got to do something about this. Eric, thank you for the call. And I'm not calling for eugenics or anything like that, but I think that You know, birth control would be a good place to start. Don't tell that to the Catholic Church, but it would be a good place to start.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
And weirdly, you've got the Republican Party, the Pence faction of the Republican Party, actually trying to pass laws to stop birth control. It is 34 minutes past the hour. It's Anything Goes Friday here on the Tom Hartman Program. And Rudy in Norwalk, Connecticut, right? You don't pronounce the L, or do you?
No, it's Norwalk.
Norwalk, okay.
It's California.
So what's
Norwalk.
Up?
First I want to say it's an honor to speak to you. I had the honor of seeing you in San Pedro a couple weeks back.
Oh, great, at the fundraiser for KPFK. Okay. That was great fun, wasn't it, Rudy?
Yeah, we did. It was. Thank you for coming down here. Now, my question is, I don't know if you've answered this in the past, because my job, I'm a sales rep, so I do a lot of stop-and-go driving.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you mentioned Mike Pence today, and I debate this with my buddies all the time, because they're a little more right conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, let's say if Trump is impeached, obviously would Pence come in, or since he's part of the whole package of Trump's presidency, is his cabinet, would he be replaced as well, too? I don't know if you've answered this in the past.
Well, that's the big question that nobody knows, because Pence was in charge of the transition. He was the leader of the transition team that brought the new officials into the White House as the Obama officials were leaving. And and Pence had been warned that Michael Flynn was explicitly an agent of Turkey and in all probability an agent of Russia, or at least had been compromised by Russia. And he ignored it. And installed him as National Security Advisor. And whether that was just a singular act of astonishing incompetence, or whether Pence himself has been compromised, is the big question that everybody's wondering about. And in fact, there is some speculation. Daily Kos has some good stuff about this. DailyKos.com, if you want to read it, Rudy, that tonight's Mueller data dump about Manafort and Cohen may well reflect on Pence. But we don't know, and so. The question is, will Mike Pence get swept out along with Trump? If that's the case, number three in line for the presidency is Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
And, which I would consider to be a very good outcome. On the other hand, if only Trump gets kicked out, and again, this assumes that Congress is going to impeach the guy, which assumes that there are such high crimes and misdemeanors that are presented by Mueller that even the Republicans in the Senate are going to look at this going, holy cow, this is worse than Nixon. Which is still, a long bet. But if Trump leaves and we end up with President Pence, and then he, appoints somebody as his vice president, I think some people will be reassured, because Pence isn't crazy, and he's not senile. And I think that Trump is, crazy is the wrong word. Pence is not a pathological narcissist. He is a bit of a narcissist. He's got a big ego. I mean, I debated him years ago back when he was a talk show host. Actually, it was when he was a congressman, but he was at a talk show convention that we debated each other. Where that's going to go, I don't know, Rudy. That's the $64,000 question, to use the old TV show from the 50s. So we'll see. We'll see. Rudy, thanks for raising the question. David in Canterbury, Connecticut. Hey, David, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Nice to talk to you. It seems like a lot of the information you're giving out today comes right from the last hours of Ancient Sunlight,
yeah,
which I'm reading. And thank you, Tom. It's a fantastic book.
Thank you.
And I'm going to take your advice. I'm going to pass it on, and I'm going to do my bit to change the culture.
Thank you.
That's what we need to do, right?
Yep.
And I'm happy to do that. But I have a couple of quick questions, Tom. Maybe you could talk a little bit about them today. Is this Bill Barr guy, former Attorney General Bush,
right,
who could be the nominee for the Attorney General's current Attorney General's office, if you could discuss his involvement that you might know of in the pardon train for the Iran-Contra guys. I think that's important that people know about that.
Mm.
He was involved in that stuff, and I'm not quite up on that.
I don't know, David, and that's something that I hope a good journalist is going to dig into.
Yeah. Well, there's something there, right, Tom?
Well, I don't. I really don't know. What I do know is that this guy has been going on Fox News and talking about how it's a witch hunt and all that kind of stuff. I'm not sure he used that exact phrase, but
yeah,
basically dissing Mueller. And that's, Trump obviously saw him on TV and said, ho, that's my guy.
Yeah. And the other thing, if you could go over, had a couple minutes, I was in my truck and I turned on the radio and I missed the fellow that was talking about the reform speech that was given in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very, very wanting to know about those reforms, because we have a local kind of a right-wing talk show here that I call often and give progressive views. And a lot of the information I give, Tom, comes right from Amy Goodwin and right from you. And the host is actually amazed sometimes that I'm giving them this information. And a lot of times doesn't even believe me. But
yeah,
it's very important that I keep getting this information out there. And I also tell them about the books that I get from Free Speech TV. And so I'm spreading the word, Tom. And
yeah,
I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, David. Nicholas, who's in our chat room on YouTube, by the way, helps moderate it, who lives in Mexico. He translated the speech and came up with the bullet points for it. And I wish I had taken notes, although I'm not sure I could have written that fast.
I really would like to hear some more information about that. I'll probably get some from Amy or you on another show.
Yeah, well, I think Nicholas is still listening. And Nicholas, if you could send me, I asked him on the air to send me a summary of what he said on the air. And I'll review that next week
in
this third hour.
I live in a blue state, but I live in a Trump district. The second district voted for Trump.
Yeah.
And it's I like to challenge them. And, you know, like you say, the art of communication, it's very, very hard to communicate with these people sometimes.
Yeah.
And I like to try my best to do that.
Great. Well, good on you, David, and thanks for the call. And I'll, listen in next week, and I'll try to recap what Nicholas said about AMLO. I wouldn't want to do it right off the top of my head right now because I don't think I'd do justice to it. David, thanks for the call. John in San Francisco. Hey, John, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Great show today. Lots of good stuff and nuggets. I did want to talk about Peña Nieto, but I'm having trouble digging up information on the Internet myself, but I did take notes. But I'd rather go back to Stephen Cohen's last segment last night, yesterday's show, because he said a couple of things, like Wendy's is a big corporation in Russia, which is not true. According to Bloomberg, they close, open and close in a couple of years, only 8 Wendy's in Russia. And then he said that there was a battleship moving into the Black Sea. And that's a 20th century tool that we don't have anymore. There are no battleships on the open oceans of any country, as far as we know.
Mm.
And then he never defended his position on the Russian threat. So, I never really got to that. He just kind of beat up on Nancy Pelosi and Schumer after that. And so I would call more, not even a hypothesis, but a hypothesis that he promoted on your show yesterday. And I was a little disappointed because I was kind of, hoping there was something there, but it seemed more like book sales than anything else.
I'm not real sure. I know Steve Cohen, and I don't think he's nobody gets rich writing books. I can tell you that from experience.
Well,
I think he's actually he's a believer. I mean, the guy's a scholar of Russian history. He speaks Russian. He knows the people inside the administration. Peskov is a friend of his. He's the kind of the right hand man of Putin. I'm assuming he knows Putin. Stephen is a decent man. His wife, Katrina Vandenhoeven, publishes The Nation magazine. I mean, this is a fairly reasonable pedigree in that family. And my take on it all is that it wasn't that Putin sat down and said, okay, I'm going to mess with the American elections. It was that Trump had been trying to do business in Russia. Trump was lying about doing business in Russia, which is not a good thing. It gives the Russians and pretty much anybody else who knew about it leverage. But I think most importantly, Trump made that public speech where he said, Russia, if you're listening, if you get Hillary's missing emails, I think the press will reward you. And that literally, like several hours after that speech, that night was when the first Russian penetration of the DNC began. And so, trying to look at this from Putin's point of view or from Russia's point of view, they're just taking an opportunity that this candidate for president of the United States just handed them, and in fact, publicly asked them to do. So I think that the blame for this really should rest at Donald Trump's feet as much as Russia. If that makes sense, John, beyond that, I also agree with Steve Cohen that I think that there are many ways where many areas where our interests align with Russia. There are other areas where our interests clearly don't, and Ukraine is one of those. But also, had we not you know, had we kept to the original agreement of not having NATO on Russia's borders, I don't think any of this conflict would be happening. So, to you, John, what do you think? John, you want to speak to any of that?
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. I don't think Russia has any interest in being our enemy. They benefit more from being our friend, so to speak, you know, business associates rather than business enemies. And just like Saudi Arabia, far more dependent on us than we are to them, especially now that we have petroleum, we've gone petroleum neutral or something.
Yeah, I agree with that. I absolutely agree with it. And, you know, we'll see how this plays out. I'm interested in world peace. I'm interested in avoiding war with Russia. On the other hand, I'm not interested in my country rolling over to any other country. So, you know, we'll see.
You and me both.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll see where it goes. John, thanks a lot for the call, and thanks for listening to Real Talk 910 in San Francisco. We'll be back. It's 40, coming up on 45 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's talk media for the sane left among us. Actually, I think we're a growing group. We'll be right back. And welcome back. Scott in Alameda, California. Hey, Scott, thanks for watching Free Speech. What's up?
Hey, Tom, just one quick point about Steve calling yesterday. He said that Vessel Mitskaya was a private citizen when she went up to the Trump Tower meeting. She actually has admitted to working for Cheka, the state prosecutor mentioned in the email that lured in Don Jr. I don't know if you remember, but that the music promoter said, oh, the state prosecutor wants...
Your memory comports with mine. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so anyway, I wanted to bring up HW's one of the lost things that nobody talks about was Gary Webb's great series in the San Jose Mercury News called Dark Alliance that documented the Contras.
This is back in the early '90s.
Yeah, importing cocaine into the country, and the San Jose Mercury News, in an act of cowardice, withdrew the story. But later on, the CIA internal investigation found that the story was mostly accurate, and it led this cocaine importation led to the crack cocaine epidemic, particularly in South Central.
Yep.
Freeway Ricky Ross, who was a major drug kingpin, went to prison. Admitted he was working with the Contras. It's a huge scandal. The other huge scandal that
wasn't. By the way, Scott, wasn't that the one where that San Jose Mercury News series? Wasn't that the one where they identified the farm or the ranch in Texas?
John Hull Ranch in Costa Rica, and there's phone records that go from the John Hull Ranch to Donald Gregg, who was a George Bush underling,
right?
Assistant to George Bush. So they have phone records that go from the John Hull Ranch to Donald Gregg, and he later became ambassador to South Korea. But anyway, the other thing is with this Khashoggi thing with killing journalists, basically, there was an incident called the Lapenka bombing. I don't know if you're familiar with the Lapenka bombing, but the Lapenka bombing killed some journalists in Costa Rica where they went to meet with a disaffected Contra leader who's a major, you know, whatever his nom de guerre was, I don't remember, but he was going to blow the lid on the cocaine thing, and they had to go upriver to get to this area called Lapenka, and there was an assassin with them who was posing as a photojournalist, and they set off a bomb, and Martha Honey, some ABC news people were injured, and some other smaller distribution newspaper, American newspaper, I remember Cleveland Plains dealer or something, I don't remember where they were from, but they had their legs blown off, and there was no medical attention because the bomb went sideways. So it blew out horizontally, and it took everybody's legs off, okay? So, you know, killing journalists. Anyway, that's George H.W. Bush, and you know, I just can't stand this line of deification, whatever you want to call it. He was just a really bad guy.
Yeah, and this is my point was not to say George H.W. Bush was a terrible man. You know, many of the things he did were terrible. There were some noble qualities about him, too. I mean, you know, volunteering for World War II, et cetera. But the point is, if we forget history, we're bound to repeat it. And I think that because we have forgotten the history of the crimes of Richard Nixon and George Bush and Ronald Reagan, we have Trump. I mean, it's just that simple. And that's why I spent that whole first hour, you know, on that. Scott, thanks a lot for the call. It's great to hear from you. And boy, do you have the data. Thank you. It's 48 minutes past the hour, coming up on 49. We'll be right back with more of your calls here on Anything Goes Friday. Welcome back on Anything Goes Friday. Colin in Kirkland, Washington. Hey, Colin, what's up?
Hey, regarding your climate change bumper sticker message, I've got two suggestions for you.
Okay.
One would be put carbon back in the ground, not in the air.
Brilliant.
And the other would be make dirt great again, carbon back in.
I like it. I like them both. Although, again, they require a basic knowledge of high school chemistry, so I don't think that they're going to have much effect on the Bush voters, or the Trump voters, excuse me.
Dang it.
Did you just say dang it?
Yeah, I said dang it. I didn't curse. Don't worry.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, so we've got to figure it, because they don't even understand that it's all about carbon. It's like, you know, stop air pollution or something. I mean, you know, I just, it's like, how do you break through to people who literally don't know what carbon is or care, and who are listening to these lies that are coming out of the petrobillionaires that are repeated on Fox so-called news and on right-wing hate radio? I think we're getting there, Colin. Both your suggestions are brilliant, and I think they're a giant step forward, but I think we still have a ways to go. Colin, thanks for the call. Charles in Prescott Valley, Arizona. Hey, Charles, what's on your mind today?
Yes, hi, Tom. Your discussion with Lamont Waldron set a light bulb off in my head. I forgot about during the 1980s how what was going on, and with all the smoke, why there were no consequences for, you know, Air America and Contras, etc.
The CIA airline that was smuggling weapons down to
and after a while, it just kind of faded from my mind as the Republicans seemed to keep it on a download. And now, one thing I thought was that was good about Donald Trump is that he continuously rubs our face in his criminal behavior as he supports. Well, with his behavior, which basically reflects the Republican agenda, and that's why they continue to support him, obviously. I think that we should spend more time on a never Republican's outlook instead of always seeming to or trying to promote a need for less partisanship, because I don't think it would happen.
Whenever anybody comes along and says we need less partisanship, you know, like this No Labels group, you know, which is basically just a front for big business in America, that's what they are. They're, you know, let's be bipartisan. All these groups that are promoting this stuff are basically, you know, corporate front groups. The fact of the matter is the vast majority of Americans, and I'm talking about over 60% and in some issues over 70 and 80% want Medicare for all. They want free public college. They want our public school systems around the country to be equalized, so everybody, regardless of the zip code they're born in, gets a good education and has the same opportunities in life. They want a banking system that has integrity and that is not corrupt. They want rich people to pay higher taxes. They want corporations to pay any taxes at all. You know, keep in mind during Dwight Eisenhower's administration, 34% of the federal budget was paid for with corporate taxes. Today, it's less than 6%. Americans have figured this stuff out. The problem is that our political system is not there, and most importantly, our media is not there. So, Charles, spot on. I'm with you. Randy in Alton, Missouri. Hey, Randy, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I'm the guy that called you right after Trump election. Said I was going to sell the farm, buy a boat, and go to Mexico.
Did you?
I sold the farm.
Uh-huh.
I'm about to close a deal on the boat in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
So two steps are done.
Wow. Getting a sailboat or a stink pot?
Well, I was calling about the bumper sticker idea. I think I
okay,
got it.
Go for it.
There's a picture of planet Earth on the left, and there's the words say, "Planet Earth, love it or leave it."
I like that.
Yeah, it's like putting them back on Trump. Voters will understand that because those are the same people that used to tell us, America,
right.
Love it or leave it.
Right, yeah, I remember it well. I remember it well.
Them, you know?
I like it, Randy. I like it. So, did you buy a sailboat?
Yeah.
That's so cool. That is so environmental. Randy, thanks for the call. I want to try and get one quick call here before the end of the show, so thank you. Terry in Alberton, Georgia. Hey, Terry, what's up?
Hey, Tom, I appreciate your program. Today's been outstanding. I've only called one other time. It was about the Ethics Committee. You didn't say too much about it. Ethics, the definition of the term, I see very the people on the Ethics Committee must be deaf and dumb.
You're talking about in the House of Representatives and the Senate?
Yeah. And essentially... And ethics, I guess you would have to have certain morals, and you've had people, the atheists, whatever, talking about the earth going to hell, yada, yada. I'm about your age. I'm a couple of years older.
I don't think you have to be religious, Terry, to have ethics. I think ethics preceded religion. You know, our modern religions are only a few thousand years old. Humanity's been around for hundreds of thousands of years.
But essentially, the golden rule now... is the people that have the gold rule.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The golden rule these days is grab the gold. Terry, thanks for the call, and spot on. Thank you so much for being with us this week. I hope you have a wonderful, blessed, careful, thoughtful, introspective, energetic, fun weekend. And don't forget, in the meantime, that democracy is not a spectator sport. It never was designed to be. That's the whole key to democracy, is that we all participate, or as many of us as possible. And the more you participate, the more powerful your voice becomes. So get out there, get active, tag, you're it. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.